From KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes. Today, we talk to Art about wires, boats, and electricity. Plus, pop goes the nuclear submarine. Do fishing and war games mix? Here's a hint. They do not. But first...
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amsea.org or 907-747-3287. And by the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvests for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
No matter what kind of boat you have, it probably has wires. It might be a 12-volt battery hooked to a jigging machine, or it might be a complex electrical system. Either way, it's wires and electricity in a corrosive marine environment. To get a few tips, I sat down on the telephone with Art Schultz, owner and operator of Future Electric. He has just spent the last couple of months doing electrical work on boats, so I had to ask him. What are the most common things that you see that make you hit your forehead?
A lack of circuit protection. People somehow think that positive power is a go, and they ignore the fact that if the positive power goes wrong, the positive power burns very easily. The majority of boat fires worldwide are caused by electrical systems. You know, a lot of people like to just find a positive power source and daisy chain off of it. It's pretty ordinary. In these do-it-yourself fishing installations. A simple fuse, if you buy them in bulk, they're 9 cents a piece or something like that, and they'll save you tens of thousands of dollars. A simple fuse in the right place. Never skimp.
I've heard that wire nuts are just fine for boat wiring.
If I am on board a vessel and I see a wire nut, I pick it up and I throw it away. I don't ask.
Well, even if it's attached to a wire?
Oh yes. I'll cut it off and throw it away.
Okay, so what should people be using in lieu of wire nuts? What if you are in that position where I have to put two pieces of wire together? You have to do it right now. What should I be doing?
You should have a crimping tool and a couple of butt splices with you.
I don't know if I can put that on the radio.
Well, there are worse things you can splice. It's pretty common to carry a crimping tool and a couple of little splice connectors. This is not asking a lot of anybody. So the effort you put into getting the wire nut could just as easily be put into buying the correct part.
Okay, what's the most dangerous thing about boat electrical systems that no one knows about?
AC current going through fresh water is very dangerous to humans. It diffuses through salt water because salt water is so much more electrically conductive. But fresh water is not very conductive at all. And so as you swim by a boat that's improperly grounded, that AC power actually uses your body as a shorting path. So the boat that will have no problem at all living over in Dog Bay and plugged into shore power, when it goes to a freshwater river in the lower 48, goes into Lake Union or up the Aquina River, up above Newport, that boat can suddenly kill someone unaware in the water beside the boat.
And what would be wrong with this electrical system that would allow that? Just a bad...
Mixing the neutral and the ground inside the boat. Even though it seems like a good idea, it's not. In fact, that's the subtlety of it. The device will work just fine, whether you put the white or the green on the grounding bar, or if you put the green on the white bar, or whatever, whichever way you want to mix and match. And it all seems fine as you sit here, but it will kill that diver that gets under your boat in Oregon. This is actually a large problem in freshwater marinas anywhere. In freshwater lakes, if you want to go to Lake Chelan, you may face this problem. Pontoon boats in Arkansas, that sort of thing. That's right. Really a much greater electrical hazard than we're going to see here in our saltwater harbor.
I then asked him what products he prefers. This really set him off.
Deoxit D5. Deoxit is the brand. D5 is the stuff coming out of the can. It's an almost invisible coating that is extremely adhesive to exposed metal. Spray it on everything. It's 5% of this mystery wear red liquid that acts like a miracle cure for corrosion issues. Exposed wiring, exposed terminal strips, anything like that, fused blocks, you can spray it on any electrical device. And it's quite spendy, and it's worth every penny. It's great stuff. You can't buy it in Kodiak. Can't buy it in Bristol Bay. And I've been pushing against a brick wall to get people to stock it locally. Now, you want to know what you should never use on an electrical system? Absolutely stop using electrical tape. Half of my business is involved in things that are caused by electrical tape. Stop putting electrical tape on wires. Electrical tape actually causes corrosion.
But the name.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Well, electrical tape is not waterproof.
No.
And so water often gets trapped underneath a big wrap of electrical tape, and then it never dries out. There's actually more corrosion beneath well-wrapped electrical tape connections than there is without the electrical tape. I see this almost every time I climb in a boat. The other thing electrical tape is not, it is not petroleum resistant.
I've seen that.
And in an engine room, it ends up being the nastiest, blackest, gunkiest mess. I mean, I've gone through a pint of Gojo before trying to fight with the stuff to get into something and then cleaning the black goo back off my hands. So why? It causes so many more problems than it solves. Just stop using it. The second thing I throw away right after I've thrown all the wire nuts away is I'll turn around and start throwing the rolls of black tape away. And it's been pointed out that they also use it on fishing gear. Okay.
Yes.
Use it on fishing gear. It's now fishing tape. It's no longer electrical tape. Start calling it fishing tape.
A lot of people use corrosion block. Is that good? What about WD-40? I use corrosion X.
All of those work at their main goal of covering up exposed pieces of metal. Where you go wrong is you apply them to the exposed pieces of metal, and then you put the two pieces of metal together. Like, for example, very small electrical connectors on engines or fine electronics. If there's a very small current and a low electrical potential, something like corrosion block can actually block some of those signals. You're much better off installing something and then spraying over the top of it so that you have a good, solid metal-to-metal contact covered with a protective layer.
And then cover it with electrical tape.
If you insist. That will keep me in business.
Thank you, Art. That was Art Schultz, owner and operator of Future Electric, and so much more.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, supporting conservation and harvesting of Alaska's wild, sustainable fisheries.
On Tuesday, August 25th, 2020, an Oscar-class Russian nuclear submarine surfaced near the Island Enterprise, a catcher-processor vessel operated by Trident Seafoods, fishing in the vicinity of Pervenitz Canyon in the northwest Bering Sea. It was an indication that things were afoot at the Circle K.
clearly there was a communication breakdown. Our government knew those military exercises were going on.
That's Stephanie Madsen, executive director of the At-Sea Processors Association. Their vessels were among those confronted by warships and buzzed by military aircraft the next day as they were ordered to leave the area. The Russian Federation was conducting scheduled war games there, but someone forgot to tell the fishermen.
The Russians did meet their obligation to notify our government that they were going to have military exercises with the dates. The gap was that nobody in our government told us. So the alarm was, I think, on both sides. We were alarmed that they were there, and they were shocked that we were there. They did have warships. They did have the nuclear sub, and they were, you know, practicing live missile fire.
The fishing vessels contacted the Coast Guard for advice on how to proceed. They were in the U.S. exclusive economic zone, fishing legally. Could Russian warships order them away?
The advice that the fishing fleets got from the Coast Guard was that you are within your legal sovereign right to fish there. The Russian government cannot tell you to leave. But the master of the vessel is responsible for the safety of its crew. And if you feel that your vessel is in an unsafe situation, it's the responsibility of the captain to take action.
And so not their responsibility. They're basically saying, yeah, if you're in an obviously dangerous situation, it's the captain's responsibility to avoid that situation, despite the fact that they're legally in the right.
That's right. And another example might be, Terry, that the Coast Guard doesn't tell you that the weather's too bad to fish, so you need to stop.
Right.
That those decisions are up to the master.
Ms. Madsen will be testifying to the U.S. Senate's Subcommittee on Security to the Committee on Commerce, Science, and Transportation on December 8th.
Communication, planning for safety, and putting assets on the ground when these things were occurring. Those are our three asks.
In short, she's hoping that our government will tell them the next time the Russians will be playing in their sandbox, have a plan to deal with it, and even send a cutter or two to keep an eye on things.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
Well, that's the show. Thanks very much to Art Schultz and Stephanie Madsen, and to Ryan Murdoch, who composed our midway theme music. Good fishing, everyone, and happy Thanksgiving.